At the General Services Administration, the 18F Group has made a reputation for itself as the people to go to for agile development, rapid software deployment, and general digital innovation. On my show just a couple of weeks ago, two 18F staff members described their success with using reverse auction techniques to acquire software code at the micro-purchase threshold. My next guest asks, what's the big deal? Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners and is here with a somewhat contrary view. Larry, so you're thinking micro-purchase reverse auctions is sort of a meh.
I think for a lot of contractors, Tom, it really is. There just aren't enough dollars in play when you're doing micro-purchase buys to get companies with established government business all that excited. Keep in mind that the micro-purchase threshold currently is $3,500 per transaction, and at that level, you have to win a lot of business in order to have it add up to something.
But this is more, I think, maybe for the people that are the equivalent of the ladies that used to knit watch caps in their homes in Maine. Software coding is kind of this home craft industry for many people. And that particular story seemed aimed at people that were not the systems integrators developing a million lines of code.
Well, I think that's great. We all want to attract people into the government market, and we do. And we also do absolutely need innovation in the federal marketplace. I think those are two net positives, Tom. However, the cautionary tale is when you're using somebody to develop a piece of code under micro-purchase buy, there are very few protections for the government in there, and that piece of code probably isn't going to stand alone and operate off in the ether somewhere. It's probably going to interact with something else that agency has already put together and purchased, maybe by a larger systems integrator. So how well do we really know how about that new code is going to work with what's already there? What type of protections are we getting to make sure that it's not going to bug up somebody's entire system? Have we done any vetting of the people who are writing this code to make sure they are the equivalent of ladies knitting watch caps and not somebody who thinks that this is an opportunity to... We have to make sure we're using checks and balances.
Now, for people selling equipment, and which may a single piece of gear or maybe 10 printers or something can come in at the micro-purchase threshold, are those worth doing reverse auctions for? And I guess my second question is, would any vendor be interested in a $3,500 buy of hardware where there's not that much margin to start with?
Well, you're exactly right. In the federal IT market for hardware, Tom, whether you're using reverse auctions or any other procurement method, the margins are already pretty low because competition rates are high. When you add on to that the downward pricing pressure on reverse auctions, a lot of companies that I talk to aren't really interested in working in that environment. They know that the project's going to go to somebody who bids below their cost oftentimes, which means that there's no real opportunity to make money on this. And then again, you also have to question, if reputable resellers are opting not to participate, who is it that is participating then? Are they people, for example, who really can provide the 10 printers that are being bid for? Are they people who are going to provide you the printers that you think you're getting? These are good questions to ask. It all comes down to one of the basic truths in life, Tom, and that is, if things seem too good to be true, they probably are.
All right. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And I wanted to ask you about something else that you have written about this week, and that is, I'll use your title, the wrong sub can leave a bad taste in your mouth. You weren't talking about D'Angelo's or Subway.
Not in this case, no. We all like a good sub, even sometimes some of us like chicken parm subs. But what we're talking about this week, Tom, is subcontractors. And what we're really talking about is, look, if you're a prime contractor, you need to make sure you know what it is your prime contractor is doing. And the case that I talked about this week was a subcontractor that you think is providing labor, people with certain skill sets that the client was asking for, when in reality, they're just providing whoever they happen to have available. A lot of times, prime contractors aren't paying that much attention, but they should be, because if you are providing unqualified labor, even if it's through a subcontractor, you're responsible for that, and you could get in trouble if something goes wrong. So my advice to prime contractors is, look, if you're using subs, make sure that they're providing what the customer wants and what you and the government have contracted for.
That relates to something else you're mentioning here, too, this week, and that is violating federal contract rules. It can happen to you, and it happens to a lot of people, not because of any deliberation on their part, but because something screwed up they didn't know about.
What I see, Tom, and a lot of the things that I do is when I teach contract compliance classes, I'm preaching to the choir. I see a lot of familiar faces in there, people who are contract managers, compliance officers, subcontract plan administrators. What I want to see are people who I don't usually see. Sales vice presidents, C-suite level executives, people inside the company who need to understand at a basic level what their responsibilities are for being a government contractor, who don't often understand what the rules are, and without any malicious intent, they can make mistakes that can get the company in a lot of trouble. And what I see pervasive is that companies think it can't happen to them. One of the things I wrote about is, look, have we ever heard of household names like ER&R Transportation of Rocky Mount, North Carolina? Or how about Cannon Design of Buffalo, New York? These are two small companies that outside of their communities nobody knows about. Yet they both found themselves on the suspension and debarment list for violations of their contract, and their executives found themselves facing criminal charges. That's relatively rare, but it shows that contract enforcement just doesn't fall on the Boeings, Lockheed Martins, and Northrop Grummans of the world. Contract compliance is the responsibility of every company that holds a contract.
Good advice from Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, I appreciate it, and I wish your listeners good selling.
Read his blog and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.